Just want to read one brief passage from the Bible tonight, and that's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, page 1153. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter in through the narrow gate. For wide the gate, and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many are they who enter in through it. For narrow the gate, and straitened the way that leads to life, and they are few who find it. And then just over the page, verse 21, page 1154, Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he that does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. These words that I've read are the words of Jesus. Jesus himself spoke these words. A lot of us get lots of messages, don't we? Some of us too many. We get messages by email or text or many, many other ways. I get too many emails. And it makes a difference who you've got the message from, doesn't it? If you've got a message from a close friend of yours, a very good friend, then you're probably going to open it and look at it fairly quickly, aren't you? If you've got a message from someone you don't know, you might wonder who it's from. And you may not put much, it may not be very important to you. Sometimes you get messages from people who are trying to rob you. And you click on something in an email and you find that you've got problems with your computer. So there's all sorts of messages that we get today, aren't there? Some of them are dangerous. You don't even want to open them. You don't want to read them. You want to delete them straight away. And there's a lot of messages that we get in the world today that need to be deleted. But the most important message that we've got, that we can ever have, is the message from God. And this is a message from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he who in whom all the fullness of Godhead was pleased to dwell, equal with the God, with God the Father, fully God and fully man, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem's manger. And this is who is speaking tonight through this passage. How wonderful the words of Jesus are. Very, very special words Jesus says. Every single word that Jesus says, you need to think about very carefully. And what is he saying to us tonight through this passage? And it's not the preacher who's speaking in that way. The preacher is just the mouthpiece. Every true preacher just wants to be a messenger to pass on the message. It's not the message from the preacher, it's the message from God. Jesus says, enter in through the narrow gate, and wide the gate, and broad the way that leads to destruction. And the narrow gate leads to life. So there's two destinations. One is to life. You might think, I've already got life. I'm alive already. I've already got life and I enjoy life. We're not talking about life like this. We're talking about life that's far better, far greater. A world where there is no sickness, where there is no pain, where there is no jealousy and hatred, where there is no bitterness and war, where children don't suffer like they do across the world today, where there is no hatred between people groups, where there is no hatred of any kind, a perfect world. Jesus came in order that we might have that life, in order that we might have real life, a life that's far greater than anything that we've got today in this world. And then he also says there's another destination is destruction. That's very serious, isn't it? Destruction. God is a holy God. God's holiness is a blazing fire. In the Old Testament, fire is often used to depict God's righteous judgment, God's anger at sin. God is greatly angry at the sin in the world. He feels it when there is injustice. He feels it when people are picked on. He feels it when people are victimized. He feels it when there is injustice in the world, where governments don't do what is right. He feels it when children have to suffer. He feels it when people suffer greatly in their health and in their bodies. He feels it when bombs blow up people, as we're seeing in Ukraine and many other places. He is a God of justice, and he has righteous anger against sin. Sin is an offence and an insult to a holy and righteous God, and he has blazing anger against sin. And that's what destruction is. Destruction is separation from God for all eternity in hell. So when Jesus tells us about these two ways, it's very serious, isn't it? It's very important for us to know which way we are on. Imagine you're going down a road with your mum and dad perhaps, or with some other friends, and you are going down the road and it goes very nicely and the journey's going very well, and you come across a fork in the road and you see a sign pointing one way and the sign says life, eternal life, and the sign pointing the other way says destruction. The sign pointing towards eternal life is a small, narrow road that's difficult to get onto. But the one pointing towards destruction is broad and wide and looks easy. That's what Jesus is doing at this passage here. He's telling us that we're all on the road to destruction because we're sinners. And we've separated ourselves from God by the things that we've done. Every single human being is on the road, on this wide road that just, you can do anything you like in the world, can't you? You can believe anything you like. There's nobody to tell you what to do. And yet on this narrow road, dear friends, is the road to life. How do we find that road to life? We find that road to life through the person who gave these very words. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way to life. He is the narrow way to life, the way to eternal life, the way to forgiveness of your sins. Because, dear friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this, who said these very words. And by the way, there's quite a few chapters of what Jesus says himself. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Many, many great things that Jesus says. But Jesus provided that narrow way so that you and me might be saved. He provided that narrow way so that you and I might be able to turn off the way to destruction and turn into the narrow way. It's hard sometimes to turn off a big wide road that's got plenty of space and is nice and smooth into a tiny bumpy country road, isn't it? But Jesus says, enter in through the narrow way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. How wonderful that is. The Lord Jesus Christ himself provided the sacrifice needed for your sins to be forgiven. He provided the payment price that needed to be paid in order that you might be able to take the narrow way, in order that you might be able to turn off the road that goes to destruction, in order that you might be able to turn onto that road to life, eternal life. Because he came into this world, and as we were reminded as we're coming up to Easter in the Sunday school this afternoon, the Sunday school story we had about the trial of Jesus, how they falsely accused him, how they put a crown of thorns on his head, they beat him and spat on him, they mocked him, they put a purple robe on him, they mistreated him in every way. The cruelty of man was shown in its fullest extent, dear friends. People sometimes today watch violent films, and I definitely wouldn't recommend it. But the violence at the cross was horrific, dear friends. How awful that was, what the Lord Jesus Christ had to bear. And we were also reminded this afternoon that he did not answer in his own defence. He had every chance to speak up for himself. He could have called on legions of angels. He could have called on angels who were at his command. He could have stopped those that were crucifying him. When he was crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What grace, dear friends. There's never been love and grace shown by anyone like the Lord Jesus. Because, dear friends, he came from heaven. And because he knew that you in 2022 would need a saviour. He knew that you would need a way of escape from this road to destruction. He knew that you would need to find a path, to the narrow way, if you're going to find a path to life. So many people don't know where they're going, do they? Sometimes they like to ask you, sometimes in school or perhaps in your work, what are your plans? Where would you like to be in 2 years' time or 3 years' time? Sometimes people think about that, don't they? Maybe they think about that at university. You get a university degree or college or whatever, and where do you want to be in your career in 2 or 3 years' time? They often ask that at where I work. What about where do you want to be in 100 years' time or 1,000 years' time? It's very thought-provoking, isn't it? Most people don't live more than 70 or 80 years. Sometimes people think they've got more time than they have. When you're in the middle, around the same age as I am, you start to think, well, maybe I haven't got quite so much time left. Sometimes people have got much less time than they think they have. Where do we want to be in 1,000 years' time? In 1,000 years' time, this world will have ended and we'll be in heaven or hell. That's a very real thing, isn't it? Find the narrow gate through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary's cross in your place. That's the reality of the believer. The believer knows, the true Christian knows that he was there for us, for me. He was there on my behalf. Can you look by faith, can you look at the cross and see in your mind's eye Jesus dying there for you? What great love it was that took him that way, dear friends. The greatness of that love which gave everything. He is the Prince of the Kings of the earth. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's hundreds and hundreds of titles of the Lord Jesus. You can spend a tremendous amount of time looking through the Bible and seeing how great the Lord Jesus is. He by whom the worlds were made. He allowed himself to be crucified on your behalf. That's the power of the cross, dear friends. The theme of some wonderful songs, the power of the cross. How wonderful that is, that the message of salvation is the same tonight. And God is offering you free and full forgiveness of all your sins, all the evil things you've done, all the times you've been nasty to someone else, the lies you've told, the pride you've shown towards other people, the lies and the arrogance and the many, many things that the Bible tells us are all sin. The Ten Commandments show to us how sinful we are, don't they? Honour your father and your mother. You shall not bear false witness. You shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How many scriptures there are that show, how many commandments there are that show to us how much we need a saviour. You need a saviour, dear friends, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. And the greatness of that love which gave everything is available to you tonight. It is a love that's far beyond any love that anyone has for you. When you're young, hopefully you find that your parents love you more than anyone else. But when you become a Christian, you find that there is a love that's far greater than that. It's greater than any human love. You ask most people today, what's the greatest need that you have as a human being? One of the greatest needs you have is to be loved. If people don't feel that they're loved by anybody in the world and nobody cares for them, they often end up committing suicide, don't they? How terribly sad that is. That's often the reason why people finish their life themselves. because nobody cares whether they live or die. There are people like that today. But I can tell you, whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your backgrounds, the Lord Jesus Christ's love is towards you. Jesus' love is so great that he gave himself. And the story did not end there. He died on Calvary's cross and died for the sins of the world so that you and I might be forgiven. But he rose again, dear friends. That's the power of Christianity. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power to break the power of death. The Lord Jesus, after he gave these words and said many other things, was taken away to the cross and crucified on your behalf and on mine. So how do we know if we're truly on the narrow way? We know if we've put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we've repented towards God of our sins, we've said sorry to God. And I was thinking about repentance the other day. Repentance means I'm wrong. Repentance means I was wrong. I admit that I'm wrong. And I turn round. I turn away from this path that I was on. And I turn round. And I turn towards God. I realise that those things that I've done were what took Jesus to the cross. That's what repentance is. And faith is putting our trust and faith in what Jesus has done. He's coming again for all those who trust him. We had that in the Sunday school this afternoon. He's coming again for all those who have repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in him. And dear friends, the narrow way is the way to life. On the broad way, you can do what you like. On the broad way, there's all kinds of people, all kinds of sinners, all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of lifestyles. You can do whatever you like. The narrow way is being obedient to God and his commandments, putting our faith and trust in him and being obedient to his words. One of the signs of being on the narrow way is loving God's people and loving his words and praying to him. That is another sign that you're on the narrow way. The greatest aim of the gospel is for you to all, everyone to be on the narrow way, dear friends. May we all find that narrow way to life before it is too late, for his name's sake.
Amen.